أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Isra, ayahs 23-30. But a little introduction about the surah. Surah Al-Isra, another name is Surah Bani Israel. The name Isra is from word Isra and the first ayah, which means travel by night. It is also called Surah Bani Israel because of the mention of Bani Israel. This is a very important surah as it contains commandments. This surah mentions the night journey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, which we may should be familiar with. In regards to this surah, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not sleep at night until he recited Surah Bani Israel and Surah Az-Zumar. This is such an important surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not sleep without reciting it. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al-Kahf, and Surah Maryam are the virtuous surahs and of great significance. Although these are considered to be Meccan surahs, majority of the Mufassireen consider ayahs 76, 80, and 60 to be Madani, to be revealed in Medina. And some scholars also add ayah 107 and consider to be Madani as well. Rest of the surah was revealed in Makkah. It is the 50th surah in terms of revelation. There are various opinions in regards to the timing of this revelation. It is possible it was revealed either 1 or 1.5 years prior to the journey of Miraj, or possibly right after. What we will go over are the 10 commandments that were also given to the Bani Israel. There are about 26 commandments in total. We will look at most of them today. These are not commandments about Hajj or Umrah, but about the rights of other people. Haqq al-Ibad, the rights of the slaves of Allah, and about our dealings with others, which is something that is normally ignored. We only consider Ibadah doing tasbih, doing dhikr of Allah, praying salah, praying nawafil, salas, and reciting Quran. But the Quran mentions commands of Allah to rectify our affairs with people. We only consider Quran to be a book to earn reward and read quickly without understanding what Allah has commanded. Here we learn the 10 commands. From all these commands, we can recognize the love of Allah for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands in defense for those who cannot stand up for their own rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in support of those who are considered weak in the society. He is the Rabb, a sustainer of not just you and I, but all. When a person becomes weak and cannot stand up for one's right, then Allah gives them their right. Today we will learn whose rights we have to fulfill. We should not think that these commands apply to others, but how can we reform ourselves in light of these commands? The first command, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, and decreed your Rabb, Lord, Sustainer. He has already decreed, and the command has come. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, that you do not worship anyone except Allah. Allah Himself gives us this command, that only He is to be worshipped, and no one else. This is decreed by Him. Ibadah includes doing prostration, making dua, giving charity, dedicating sacrifices. All will be for Him alone. In ibadah, having extreme humility, al-khudu wa tazallu, humbling oneself extremely with love, is ibadah. Not feeling forced or considering it a burden. No, doing it due to love of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His worship alone as the first command. And Iyyahu means only His worship and not to include anyone else. These are the attributes of those who will be successful in the Akhirah. How do they spend their life? Only worshipping Allah alone and doing it with their own free will and earning the pleasure of Allah above pleasing all others, having fear of earning this pleasure of Allah above fear of displeasing anyone else. No one else has more right to be pleased about pleasing Allah. Pleasing Allah should be in the first priority. Fearing to displease Allah should also be the first. You cannot give anyone else priority over Allah. This is how shirk enters. Then secondly, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and do utmost good or show the most benevolence to your parents. إِحْسَان, is this for a specific time? No, to be good to them their entire life. But a special emphasis is made. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ, whenever they reach the old age. أَهَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, if it is only one of them or both of them. We learn three things. First, who does Allah mention right after His right and gives commands regarding the parents in the old age? Their right is more at this time. One must have extreme kindness towards them. This is emphasized. This is because Allah is the Khaliq, the creator of all mankind. But the means of a person coming into this world are the parents. Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is not thankful or grateful to others, he cannot be thankful to Allah either. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning His right Himself, mentions the rights of the parents. When they reach old age and are living with you or near you or are under your care, why does it say عندك? It means near you. Those who live far away from their parents and call them once a week for a few minutes and go to see them once a year and spend a few weeks is easy. But those who live with them and are near, it is more difficult for them to deal with them. Calling for 10 minutes is easy. Only those who complain and find them to be annoying, especially in their old age, when they become like kids. If they are at that age, do not hate them, nor feel annoyed at them, nor jokingly putting them down, nor getting irritated, nor yelling at them, nor raising your voices at them. One cannot do any of these. Sometimes it is difficult in dealing with them because certain negative changes happen in old age. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this age specifically. When a person is young, they don't feel dependent on others. As a person's age increases and they reach old age, dependency increases. As parents at a younger age can speak intellectually, but as they progress into old age, their thinking ability is decreased. As they reach the abject old age, they think they are okay, but the others realize the changes in them, and they say things that might be hurtful to others or themselves even. When this happens with them, and they are living with you, what do you have to do? فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ, do not say to both or either of them, uff. This is such a small word, a word which indicates disrespect. In it is hidden feelings of anger, discomfort, annoyance. A person doesn't say a lot. Just even uff shows anger and dislike, even if so minute. So even cannot say this. It will be very heavy on their hearts and break their hearts. Being rude, arguing, and using mean language is far from and much graver than this word, but cannot even say oof. Being irritated with them, not even a little bit, or being disrespectful is allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, just one word, even if it is not oof, it could be other things in different languages. Such as one says, oh God, can be oof. Or sometimes when kids roll their eyes in response to their parents saying something, this could break the parent's heart. A mother would remember how with so much difficulty, being near death, she gives birth to her child. How she nursed this child, how she sacrificed her own comfort in so many ways while raising the child. Even when she has to wake up at night, she wakes up picking up the child with love and affection. She cares for her child and makes sure he or she doesn't feel hot or cold. And then the loving father, after a tiring day, forgets his fatigue when he sees the child. He works hard all day so the child can have a good future and provides every comfort for the child. And when a child says a word, even if it's gibberish, they feel so happy. And the father is like a cool shade. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells mankind to honor their parents who sacrificed so much for us and to honor them, and tells us to not even say oof to them. This is such a relation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put love of their offsprings in their heart, made it part of their nature for them. But for kids, love of their parents is not natural. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the kids how to behave with their parents. وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا, and do not rebuke or scold them. Do not scold or yell at your parents, nor say harsh words to them, nor be loud with them. Sometimes kids do not say oof, but become loud and shout at them. They cannot do this. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, and say to them a respectful and gentle word. It means address them in kind words. Although there are 10 commands, but just about parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many commands. First, do utmost good to them. Secondly, do not say oof to them, and speak to them kindly. So many instructions just about parents. If one cannot even say oof to their parents, are they allowed to be sent off to old age homes? Every person will be asked about this in the hereafter. We learn that there are some sins for which a person will be punished in this life. They will be punished in the hereafter, but doesn't die until the person gets the punishment in this life as well. One such action is disobedience of parents. This is something we take very lightly. It is very common for people to be nice and kind to others and meet happily with friends, but with parents, they have a cold attitude and take it as a burden meeting with them. People do not even try to find out what the parents need. This is from the signs of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Very few try to please their parents. We mostly find cases where parents are unhappy with their kids. So here it is mentioned, speak to them a noble, respectful word, speaking with such words that make them happy. One needs to find out themselves what it could be, speaking to them in a very respectful and honorable manner. Kareem means noble. A man once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Rasulullah, what is the right of parents? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are both your Jannah or your Jahannam. If they are happy with you, they are cause for you to go to Jannah. If they are unhappy with you, then they are cause of you going to Jahannam. As it is said, Jannah lies in the feet of your mother. If something is under someone's feet, it could be anything, for example, a bug. Either you can crush it or let it go. Likewise, Jannah being under the feet of the mother means either if she will let you go to Jannah or take it away from you or crush it. In a book by Ahsan Danish, wrote in his book Jahan-e-Danish, he writes that when his mother became ill, he told his wife that my mom is my capital. I will not share her with anyone. So you do not need to take care of my mother. I will take care of her myself. He was a poor man, living an impoverished life, and did not have a place to wash. He wrote, he would pick up his mom's bed and walk 2 miles every day to the river to wash it, and then dried it and brought it back for her. He said, I did this every day and stood at her feet until she passed away. Parents are such things that there is no replacement for them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon returning from the farewell Hajj, he stopped at a place called Abwa, near his mother's grave. He sat and cried there for hours. The companions were astonished upon whose grave he was crying so much. Once a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained that his father takes his money without asking him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go and call him." When the man learned that his son had complained about him, he felt very sad. On his way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited some poetry in his heart. Upon reaching the gathering where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, he sat down. Jibril had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the man reached him and had said, "Allah wants to inform you that the father is coming. So ask him about the words that he uttered to himself, which even his own ears did not hear." When the father came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, "What words did you utter to yourself, which even your ears did not hear?" He said, "Our faith in Allah increases more and more, and I did not even utter them with my own tongue, and my Lord heard me. This was in my mind." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What did you say?" He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he had uttered. The translation does not do justice to the man's word, but this is what he said: "My son, the day you were born, we died that day. We started living for you. We spent all that we had on you. For your smile, we tolerated the heat and cold like cattle. We endured all types of difficulties in raising you. To feed you fresh, we ate dry. To give you cool drinks, we gave hot air to ourselves. To make you sleep, we remained awake ourselves. To keep you in peace, we tolerated pain. To save you from cold winds, we became your barrier. To save you from heat of the sun, we became your shade. Whenever you became ill, we stayed awake all night, perturbed with endless tears. Our heart was grieved, and we both feared your death. Even though we knew that death will come only at its appointed time, your being sickness made us restless all night. It felt it was not your illness, but it was I who was ill, and we wept for you all night. And the cloud of grief covered us all that time. Just like this, we strove, became tired, and were crushed. Our youth became extracted from us, drop by drop, and filled your childhood. We lost our youth, so you can gain yours. Our faces became aged, and yours radiant with youth. You came to strength, and we began holding onto the sticks. Now we began to hope as we walked holding your fingers, just as you washed his waist and sang lullabies, just as we cried and grieved and lost our sleep, expecting no more than that he will ask us about our condition and take care of us. But suddenly, when you reached the mature age, your attitude changed. You became close to your friends and became further from us. You spoke harshly with us. We both sat worried. We wondered. We raised him. No, no, I made a mistake. He raised me. Otherwise, even a dog appreciates his master. Alas, my son, if you did not want to fulfill my rights as your father, you could have treated me like an acceptable neighbor, but you could not even be my neighbor. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these words, the tears flowed from his eyes and his whole beard became wet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed the young man's neck and said, "Go, you and your wealth belong to your father." There was so much pain in the man's poetry. In the hadith, it is mentioned when people devour wealth of governments, when they break their trust and they consider it as war booty, and when people will refuse to give zakah, when people will start getting knowledge of the world and turn away from gaining knowledge of the deen, people will become disobedient to parents and will become obedient to their wives. They will meet friends kindly and turn away when they see their father, or change their way so the father doesn't ask him to do anything. There are other things listed in this ahadith. Also, the men will start wearing silk. About this time, the Prophet ﷺ said, "When these things appear in my ummah, then wait for red winds, earthquakes, sinking of earth, strong winds, storms, earthquakes. These things will happen just as threads of this bee break and the beads fall. They will come one after another." 2 points from this in regards to treatment of parents. People will be disobedient to their parents and will speak kindly with to friends and run away from their fathers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "At this time, when your parents reach their old age, do not behave in this manner. In their old age, do not hurt them with your words." Here, parents are portrayed as someone delicate. They with their delicate hearts, because a mother gives birth and both parents strive in upbringing them. So if a child misbehaves or says, "What do you know?" then this will break their delicate hearts. Today, signs of Qiyamah have come true. Today, parents try to please their kids instead of kids trying to please their parents. Parents try to be careful in saying things that will make the kids angry. Today, it is the parents saying Qawlan Kareem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغْفِرْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower your wings of humbleness from the mercy. This means adopt humility in posture of body and keep yourself humbled towards them. This is physically showing humility, and when the heart is spread out for them, as a slave humbles himself to his master. So lower yourself towards them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And say, "O my Rabb, bestow mercy upon them both, just as they raised and nurtured me when I was little." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the dua to make for our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this time of weakness, the time of childhood, when we were helpless. We could not even feed ourselves, nor clean ourselves, nor shoo away even a fly. We were helpless. At that time, how our mothers took care of us, nursed us for 2 years, taught us to walk holding our fingers. We could not feed ourselves, so she took hours feeding us. We didn't even know how to speak. She taught us how to speak and understood us, even if we could not say words properly. She taught us what is good and bad, taught us manners, taught us rights of others. She took us to school. How she persevered for us. Today, when we have attained youth, now she is deserving of our attention. And our fathers, they spend their youth in providing for us, spend their days working for us, just so we could have good food and education. Today, our father is deserving of our attention. The parents use all their energies, their youth and upbringing of their children, which no one else will do for us. And when they become old, old age in itself is deserving of respect. But when our parents get old, it is even more important to honor them and make sure that they do not get hurt from our hurtful words, because those hearts have a lot of love for their kids. We should look at ourselves, how we have behaved with our parents. Whether our parents are alive or not, we should make this dua for them. We should memorize this dua and make this dua after every salah. Before saying salam, ending the salah, we can recite this dua. We cannot truly give the right due to our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to have humility with our parents, not even say uff to them, even keep your voices lowered in front of them, nor walk ahead of them, and show mercy to them. They are deserving of our mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks himself for the rights of the parents, and he teaches us to show mercy, speak gently, and make dua for them. He teaches us to make their old age easy for them. Hafiz Abu Bakr stated in his Sanad that Buraid narrated from his father, one man was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, and he did it with his mother on his back. Then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did I give the due right to my mother? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, not even for one breath, not even worth one breath in your care. One must remember and recall favors done to us by our parents when we were little and helpless, because old age is weakness. Today we are strong and independent because of them. We should not get annoyed with them due to their certain habits. For example, they're asking to repeat what someone has said again and again. This is when we should remember the time when we were little, not us in our youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of our own childhood and how they showed mercy to us and how they took care of us when we were weak. Today parents need time, not necessarily money. We learn of a man who would go to his old mother and recited the rhymes of his childhood to her, so she is amused and becomes happy. Everyone should think how to make them happy. The only exception of not listening to parents is when they tell us to disobey Allah. There are two extremes. One extreme is when children obey their parents, even at cost of disobeying Allah and His Messenger. There, one cannot obey their parents if it conflicts with the commands of Allah and His Messenger. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to maintain ties of kinship, and then the mother tells her kids not to speak to any of your aunt or not to be good to uncle or father, even in cases of divorce. If a mother's in-laws gave her a very difficult time, it is a very difficult time for her. So then she would tell her children not to meet with their father's relatives. Even at this time, it is important to keep ties and also important to obey your mother. So what should one do? One can meet with a relative without causing hurt to the mother and obeying the commands of Allah. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Just as the parents used all their energies and capacities and showed mercy to us when we were so little, think of the times when she made us laugh and played with us. When the child becomes an adult, now it is demanded from them to make an effort to make their parents happy, as the mother made them happy. Sometimes kids complain that their parents are always angry, so don't do the things that make them angry. If a husband knows what makes the wife angry, and the wife knows what makes their husband angry, then wouldn't a child know what makes the parents angry? So one should leave the things that are disliked by them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to make this dua for our parents. This is such a beautiful dua, because when we remember all the times We gave our parents a hard time in our youth or teenage years. Then we have regrets, now as adults, and we want to compensate for all those times. We learn from a hadith, the companion Malik bin Rabia stated that when I was sitting, a man from Ansar came and said, O Rasulullah, is it still upon me to do good with my parents after they have passed away? The Prophet ﷺ said yes. Four things are due from you: praying Salatul Janazah for them, doing istighfar, seeking forgiveness for them, fulfilling their contracts and agreements, honoring their friends, and keeping ties of kinship with their relatives. These are deeds one can do even after their demise. As after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her a lot. So when her sister would visit, he would honor her, and he would send meat to her friend's house as gifts. For those whose parents are far away or have died, one can keep good relations with their relatives. In a narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is narrated that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rose to the first step of his pulpit to address, and then he said he ruined himself completely. Then he went up the second step and repeated these words. Then finally he went up to the third step and repeated these words again. The companions asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who ruined himself completely? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first is a person who witnesses the month of Ramadan and does not get his sins forgiven. Second is a person who does not send salam upon me when he hears my name. And the third, a person who finds one or both of his parents in old age and could not enter paradise. This is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We run to do all other good deeds, doing charity work, but this is what Allah has commanded right after worshipping Him. This is what we fall short in. We keep contacts with everyone else, know what condition everyone is in, but are negligent towards one's own parents. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about the most beloved action by Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ stated, praying at its appropriate time, then asked, after this action, then he said, being kind to one's parents. This is a Bukhari and Muslim narration. So we cannot be disrespectful to parents, nor do anything that is in their disobedience. Someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said three times, shall I not tell you about the major sins? Shall I not tell you about the major sins? The companion said, yes, why not? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, attributing partners with Allah, doing shirk, this is a major sin. Then, being disobedient to parents, this is also a major sin. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned lying. From what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the second major sin is disobedience of parents. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked three times about who is most deserving of kindness, the Prophet ﷺ responded, mother, in all three times. We must assess ourselves. If we are kind and good to our friends and contacts and circles, we must make sure we are not falling short to give our parents their due rights or being utmost good to them. We also learn that we must take care of our parents, spend upon them, and do not separate them from ourselves, as they spend upon us in our childhood. So just as a bird, when it is ready to take flight, it spreads out its wings, and when comes down from its flight, gathers its wings and lowers them, similarly, we are told to lower our wings, meaning lowering our arms, indicating humility, reverence, not speaking arrogantly. We also make dua from Surah Ibrahim, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. In this, we are also making dua for our own forgiveness and our parents' forgiveness, and we should make it with understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us fulfill our rights to our parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever looks at his parents with love and mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them reward equaling to an accepted Hajj at every glance. The companions asked, even if someone looks at them this way 100 times a day? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes in the affirmative, but only one who lives near them can do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be three kinds of people. Allah will not look at them with mercy on the day of Qiyamah. From them is one who is disobedient to their parents, one who is a habitual drinker of intoxicants or alcohol, and one who reminds others of favors done for them. And we also learn about a young man who was on his deathbed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoined him to say La ilaha illallah, but he could not. It would not come out of his mouth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, if he was one who prayed, it was said yes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, if his mother was still alive, someone said yes, but he is disobedient to her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for his mother to come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, is this your son? She said yes. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, if I light a fire and I put him in it, would you tolerate it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forgive him. She said, I will not forgive him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will make a fire and put him in it. Will you tolerate it? She said, I forgive him. Then again, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to recite the kalima, he recited it and died. Even in this life, it can become a punishment if someone disobeys their parents.